Dear God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for those who braved slick roads to be here. Lord, I thank you for the journey that we're on and how you have walked with us and led us and guided us and provided for us. And Lord, I just pray that our time together would be a blessing. Our time at the fellowship meal later would just be a great point of connection. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to draw people to you, that we would have a hand in sharing the gospel, the good news, with those around us. Help us to be people who live on mission to do that, to make disciples as you have called us to. We ask for your leading and power in this. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, well, I just want to kind of, like I said, just walk through a few things. You know, journey began, we basically, my wife and I were down in Indianapolis, Indiana, and just felt called to start a new church. We were working at an older church. It was, I think, 85 years old at the time, and just felt like that God wanted us to start something completely new. And where we were going to go was the big decision. And so we looked at different cities, and I fasted from solid food for 30 days to pray over that, because I was a big city guy at the time. Indianapolis is a good-sized community, so I was thinking either Seattle or Portland, and just prayed over that and felt like the answer we got was Fairbanks. I'd heard Deli was from this area, and so I'd heard about the darkness, and I'd heard about the long winters and the different things, and so I wasn't very excited about that. And so I actually waited a few days and did another full 30-day fast because I wanted a different answer, and I was hoping for a different answer. But got the same answer and felt like God wanted us to come here and start a church. Clearly, there are already some churches here, some excellent churches. But every church has a personality. Every church reaches different people, connects with different individuals. And so we felt called to come here. And so we loaded up our little kids. You know, we broke my parents' heart because we took their only grandchildren, moved them 3,000 miles away. Thankfully, my sister came through. They now have other grandchildren, so there's less guilt in that whole answering the call of God. But we did come up here. We lived in her sister's basement for, I think, 7 months. We found other jobs and, you know, just kind of got it going. And I worked bivocationally full-time for about 7 years, both working, trying to create the church and working another full-time job. A lot of that time was as a crisis call person, and so spent years, night after night, 6 nights a week, talking people out of suicide. And that's a unique ministry, and one that I learned a lot. I felt like I learned a lot about grace in that process, understanding that, you know, growing up in a Christian home, growing up in, a minister's home, growing up where I did, really in many ways feel like I was born on third base, to use the baseball analogy. And so grew in my appreciation as I talked to folks and their home life, and so much of their lives were so different than what I had experienced. So incredible education on Alaska and this community. And unfortunately, in many ways, I got to see the darkness of this community up close and the deep need for hope and the need for the gospel. And so it was an amazing time. And I wasn't allowed to pray with people. They told me that before I started, and I think it was my second call where somebody specifically asked me to pray for them, and I did, had to write that in my notes. And this secular organization actually changed their policies so that you could pray with people. So but journey began by us moving up here and just tried to get to know people and get started. I will never forget, because of my background, I was very surprised. I mean, most people I met in Indianapolis, and granted, I ran in certain circles, but I went to public high school, I played sports, I did all those kinds of things, so it wasn't like I was never around non-Christians, but there was still a cultural knowledge of the Christian faith. There was still kind of that baseline, if you understand what I'm talking about, if you've experienced that wasn't true here. And it was really fascinating to me. We had a lot of stuff in our homes those early years, and Deli has been remarkable. She was an incredible host, and we way overused our home in the early days. We would pack in 40, 45 people every Thursday night. Our neighbors loved us as they parked up and down the road. And it was very fascinating. I remember when it hit me, and we'd only been doing it a week or two, and I would show these Nest Entertainment videos, and they were Bible stories, like the classics, Daniel in the Lion's Den, and Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac. And I think it was Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac, and we had, I don't know, like 15 kids packed into this, you know, our downstairs, and they're watching this video. And I'm watching these kids, and they're scared, like, because Abraham's going to sacrifice Isaac. I'm like, these children don't know this story. And it shocked me. I'm going to be honest, it really did, because that wasn't what I was used to. In this community, many times I have given somebody their very first Bible at one of our booths, whether it's a carnival or Midnight Sun Fair. It's really interesting. There are churches here, clearly, but there is a darkness here that's different than what I was used to. We have tried over the years to be a church that goes where other churches don't, sometimes successfully, sometimes not as successfully. One that I don't consider as successful, but I think you'll appreciate it, Arctic Man. I don't know if you've been to Arctic Man, but we decided this is a great idea. Let's go set up a little booth and give out Bibles and Christian literature at Arctic Man. This will be fun. And so we went, and of course that year it was 30 below, and I froze the entire time. And we set up our little booth, and literally across from us they had this huge banner, and they're, I don't know what they were, but they were called Team Hangover. So it's Team Hangover and Journey Christian Church at the Arctic Man. And honestly, there wasn't a lot of interest in our materials, but we tried, and it was like, I got to be honest, it was like living in a Jeff Foxworthy skit. I mean, there were snow machines dragging couches behind them. Have you been to this? And they're dragging them in front of me, and I'm like, where am I? What is going on? But we were there trying to be light in a dark place. I mean, if you've never gone to Arctic Man, if you've never read the rules for Arctic Man, it's pretty comical. It's things like, don't leave a couch on fire. You know, I mean, I'm like, what is going on? But it was really interesting. Another thing we tried to do to get in places that we didn't think most churches were was we went out to Chattanooga, and at the time they had these, they would like bowl little kids down an icy, you know, bowling alley, and they knocked down pins. And so Mike Edmonds did that with our son Tony, and he loved that. But the big highlight was they had outhouse races, and they would, you know, you would have four people, and you run with an outhouse, and you had to have somebody in the outhouse, you know. And so Michael Smith, if you see him today, you can remind him that he was our outhouse captain there. And we had that for years out here on the Connex, you know, up above. We just got rid of the outhouse from our outhouse races. And it was so funny because the announcer, we came in third one year, and the announcer's like, and third place is, and he goes, does that say church? That's what he said into the microphone. And I think if you won, I think you got like a six-pack of beer or something, which wasn't the best prize, you know. But it just, we, as a church and as a calling, tried to go, where are Christians not? Where is it dark? Where can we be light? And we've had events in bars. I did a couple times now. I've done stand-up comedy. Of course, it burned down, the Blue Loon, and did that a couple times out there with a contest. And so I was like the, you know, the little dose of PG material in the midst of a rated R show. And so we have tried to go where other churches don't. And I hope that DNA is still with us. We haven't done as much of that in recent years, but it's been, I want us to be a people who are about the lost. I want us to think about, where are they? I mean, Jesus calls us to be fishers of men, and one of the things about being a fisher person, a fisherman, is you've got to go where the fish are. You can't catch halibut in Fairbanks. You got a long drive down to Valdez to do that, right? And so in our community, you need to actively think about, where are people who are not followers of Jesus Christ, and find a way to be there. As long as it's not, you know, something that would drag you down or take you in a direction that wouldn't be good and wouldn't help you walk in holiness. We did a lot of trips to Minto and took teams of teenagers and some adults, and we'd go spend a week out there. And that was a powerful experience. I'll never forget telling the story of David and Goliath. And the same kind of thing as what I experienced in my home is I tell the story of David and Goliath, and at the end, I ask all these kids, I said, so who's heard the story of David and Goliath before? And only one out of the 19 kids had heard that story before, which I found unbelievable. But I kind of would press in, I would ask specifically to make sure it wasn't just a, you know, not wanting to raise their hand. And so there are places where there's not as much light. There are places that we are called to and we need to go. One of the things when I look back over 15 years is I see miracles of God's provision. I see incredible kindness from God in providing the right people, providing the finances we need when we need them. He's not as quick as I would like always, but he does give us what we need eventually. And just like the promise of people, I remember I found a letter a couple years ago that I had written to my church in Indianapolis, and I wrote about how, you know, trying to create a church, and we'll do this, and we'll have this ministry, and I talked about all these things, and for me, there were no faces. But when I read that letter, you know, when I found it in a pile of my stuff, I read it, and for every one of those ministries I talked about, all these different things I envisioned, I saw a face. I saw a volunteer. I saw a ministry leader. I saw somebody who had a heart for that, who was making that happen. And so God has been very gracious when it comes to providing for us. Dave Goff was our volunteer general contractor on this project, and there's still things that are happening and still things being done. Put in, I think, thousands of hours. And so I appreciate the effort he made and others like him who came and used their skills to help us build this incredible building. I think of, you know, we were at the fair and the church was going to launch in October, and here we are in August, and my wife is like, well, who's going to be the worship leader? And I said, I don't know yet, you know, but God knows, we'll find it. And I put an ad on fairbankshelpwanted.com, so here's a little plug, and I thought, there's no way this is going to work. But you pray and you act and you try to, what can I do? And I kid you not, like a couple days later, this guy calls me up out of the blue and he says, hey, I saw your ad on fairbankshelpwanted.com. And he said, I got transferred to Wells Fargo here in Fairbanks. And he said, my wife is a worship leader. They live down in Wasilla. And he said, would you like to meet her? And absolutely. And she was our first worship leader. And God provided people in that way. And then later, I remember when they moved, he got transferred or they went down to Kansas. My wife said, you know, we need a worship leader like Dave Wilcoxon, this guy that I used to go to church with years ago. And so we were praying, and guess what? God sent the real deal, the original, not just someone like him. And so we got, you know, Coke rather than New Coke, which is much better, right? So, it really has been fun to watch how God provides. How when you're trying to do his work, he does show up and provide. We were looking for a children's director, and Jessica had done a great job with her husband, but she had some health issues and needed to step back, and she graciously had hung on a lot longer than she really wanted to, because it was difficult. And we're like, who do we get, and what do we do? And my wife said, you know, you ought to go to the Christian bookstore and just tell the owner, and because she knows people you don't know. And I didn't get to it. And my wife did it. And I think it was like that afternoon, it might have been within an hour, that Chris Scott walked in and said, do you happen to know a church that's looking for a youth director or a children's director? And Debbie, who owns the Christian bookstore, said, why, yes, I do. I was just told that this morning. And so God provides for us, and he has been incredibly gracious in all of that. The finances, I went back and read, every month I kind of just write a one-page summary, what's happened in our church, and I just read a bunch of those, and there are some incredible stories, and I know a lot of them you've heard, but it's good for us to remember how God has provided for us, how God has come through for us. We're a forgetful people. And I think of this property, the 9.2 acres, and the price was $2.3 million. And we didn't have $2.3 million. And we looked at 40 different pieces of property, but this was our first choice. And we had one other one we liked a lot. It was 7 acres somewhere else. But we really wanted this one. And we kept praying, and the price went from $2.3 million for just the land, no building involved, but just the land, and it dropped down to $500,000, which is what we had in cash available. And then we talked to the owner, and we said, you know, I mean, because, hey, if God's going to do a miracle like that, why not ask, right? We went to the owner, and we said, you know, it'd be really nice to give you, you know, most of it, but we keep, say, $50,000 to clear the land and work on a picnic shelter, that kind of thing. And would you kind of float us that last little bit? And he went for that. And so God shrunk the price and then allowed us to have a little bit of money to get started and gave us the land. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible how that has worked out. He has been so kind to us. And I will tell you, God's provision, honestly, the way it looks most of the time is you and me, just us regular people, writing regular checks, $100 or whatever your tithe is, and just doing that week after week after week, or if you get paid once a month, or at dividend time, giving a special gift. And that's how God's provision usually looks. But occasionally he does kind of show off, and we've had a lot of that in our history. I think of a farm couple in Indiana who called me up and said, hey, we're going to sell some land, and we are excited to give your church the biggest gift we've ever given in our entire adult lives, and it was $20,000 towards our building project. I mean, we weren't their church, but they knew what we were doing. They'd heard about us. I had a personal connection with them. And he has been so kind to us. I think of a man who doesn't live in this state, but there was a connection to somebody here at Journey, not me. And he came to me and he said, hey, can we meet in your office? So I met with him and had a conversation. It was a good conversation. At the end, he said, you know, I'll help you with this project. I'm like, okay, great. And a couple days later, a check showed up, and it was for $100,000 for the foundation that you're sitting on right now. I mean, that's crazy stuff. And God has been so amazing to us in so many different ways. I think of a more recent example of the church I served 25 years ago in DeMossville, Kentucky. I mean, this is a tiny little community. DeMossville, Kentucky, seriously, has a Christian church, a Baptist church, a stop sign, and a post office. That's DeMossville, Kentucky. But it was 40 miles south of Cincinnati, Ohio, which is where I was going to seminary. And I would go on the weekends and serve that church. And it was a couple hundred people, and I never did quite figure out where they all came from. But they were in that area, and it was remarkable. But they have sent mission teams up here to provide free labor and to serve. And you see the unity of the body of Christ across state lines and see relationships from years ago. I mean, literally, I was there decades ago. I go back. I don't feel old normally, but if I go back to Grassy Creek Christian Church and I see the kids that I had in children's church and now they have children, I feel a little old. It does happen. And They did this thing I never heard of. They came up with a stay-at-home mission team. And so their group went around and they did odd jobs in their community. And, you know, they fed chickens and cleaned chicken coops and just did all kinds of crazy stuff for several weeks and raised the money and gave us, I mean, it was a lot of money. It was just remarkable how God provides. I would never have ever come up with, okay, how's God going to provide for your church? A stay-at-home mission team in DeMossville, Kentucky. Not on my list. God is doing amazing things in our lives collectively and in our lives individually. And so I just want you to understand that. And yet, I'm always so humbled, you know, these show-off moments. And yet I think of an older man in a nursing home named Bernie, who was in the church I served in Indianapolis, who literally sent this congregation in our building process. He sent a $10 check. And I mean, that, I felt like I received the widow's mite, if you know that story in the scripture. And it just has been so humbling to see how God gives, how God is generous, how God provides. And it is through his people, and primarily through us. But these show-off moments of people that just out of nowhere have done it, it's pretty incredible. One story I love to tell are the seats you're sitting in. And the seats you're sitting in, typically those would cost $50 to $75 a piece. And we're like, we need 400 of these. How is that going to work? That's, you know, a lot of money. And so we're looking at that, and we're like, man, that is a lot of money. And of course, nobody in Fairbanks makes these chairs. And so you got $20,000, say, at the $50 chair, and then you got at least $10,000 to haul it up here. Well, what happened was, through our relationship with a church planting organization that I'm on the board of and we have connections with and we plant churches with, they knew of a church that was selling these chairs and were wanting to give it to another church. They bought new chairs. And so they sold us these chairs for $5 a piece. So instead of $75 or $50 a piece, $5 a piece. Our secretary knew someone in the area who stored the chairs for us because we weren't remotely ready, and the church didn't want to keep 400 chairs around, and we didn't want to pay storage, and this person that Debbie knew, they let us store them. And then Greg Heindel, one of our people, drove down and grabbed most of the chairs and hauled them up here, and basically our cost was his gasoline and his fast food that he ate on the way back, and for the most part. I think we had to ship a few of them, but not very many. And so you just see God working again and again and again. And the provision and blessing of God, if you're on his path, he does bless you. If you're about his mission, he does bless you, and he does come alongside of you, and he does provide for you. Some recent wins in the past year, because we kind of look October to October, just some basics, you know, Christmas attendance, we were over 300, and, you know, I remember, and most of you don't, this is a very transient community, but I remember Journey Christian Church, my wife and I and four kids in a minivan. We have a fifth child now, the one true Alaskan, I guess, and my standard line there is, because we'll do anything to grow a church, right? So, but you know, the last two Easters, both of those Easters, each time we've had over 400 people come to the church to, you know, between the services, and that's been amazing. In 2018, which is a chunk of that year from this October to last October, we had 25 baptisms in 2018, which I love to see that, people putting the stake in the ground, saying, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, and that is so exciting. And to fully comprehend that and get that, you know, if we sat down with a church consultant in America, they would tell you that a typical church in America, well, about half of them, about 50% of them, don't see a single baptism in any given year. They're just not. Doesn't happen. But the half that do see baptisms in a given year, that basically what you're looking at is about 85 people working for a year to see one person publicly say, I'm following Jesus Christ. 85 persons. So at our size, you're thinking three or four people a year. And yet in 2018, we had 25 baptisms into Christ. That's remarkable. And that's us trying to live out mission, helping people to come to know Christ. This year, so far, we've had 12 people sign the membership covenant. We've had 5 people baptized so far, but they kind of come in waves is how that works. And so we continue to work on that. I hope you're praying for your lost friends and neighbors. I hope you're inviting them to church. I hope you're, when you get the opportunity, sharing the gospel so that they could believe and put their trust in Christ. When I look back, I think of some of the silly moments. It wasn't that long ago. There was, and I don't know what it was, but I was preaching and still had a ways to go, apparently, but behind me, the line kept popping up on the wall, and it just simply said, time is up, time is up. So I don't know if that was intentional from the computer volunteer or what it was, but we'll go with that. But that was kind of a funny one if you were here that particular day. An amusing one recently was we had some chicken left out with our food pantry, which is a great ministry. And for 3 or 4 days, I had at least 20 people sniffing all around this church trying to figure out what was going on because it smelled terrible in here. And finally, we called the police, we called the fire department, and we were asking for them to send over a guy because they do put that, like, rotten egg smell in natural gas, and we have natural gas in the kitchen, and we're thinking, well, maybe we have a gas leak. And so we expect one guy with a little detector, and of course they sent 2 fire trucks, an ambulance, guys in full gear, and I wish I could show you a picture, I wish I had one, of our secretary's face as she's walking around showing all these firemen walking through our church, you know, this armada of help that we get, and then they discover the stinky chicken, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. The Refuge, which is a name, one of the folks that attends that service every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and if you're interested in that, I mean, yes, we focus on recovery and addiction, but we talk about hurts and habits and hang-ups and places we get stuck. Tonight I'm talking about how do you deal with rejection. And so I think we're all recovering sinners. That's really our status. You know, we are recovering sinners, and we come to God, and He accepts us in His family, and He gives us a new life. And so that ministry has done well. And just last Sunday night, we had the privilege of baptizing a young woman into Christ from that service, right after the service. And so that's exciting. And so we continue to see God doing these things, even in the hard times. You know, in the last year, our secretary had a heart attack. That was a tough thing. Our worship leader lost an argument with a table saw. That was a tough thing and cut his hand really bad. But, I mean, he's a trooper, and he went right back to playing. And so we've had some challenges. We had a challenge where financially it was very difficult, and I went a long stretch without any salary. And not only has that been fixed and I get my salary again, but all that I lost was made up to me, which was a remarkable thing, and I didn't expect that to happen. And so God has been very kind to us in so many ways. As a church, we've tried to connect with our community because it's not about just huddling up. It is about looking outward, looking around, and trying to connect with others. We pass out water bottles at the midnight sun race. They literally walk and run right in front of my house for hours at the midnight sun time. We do the midnight sun street fair where we have a booth down there. And usually, I think only one other time in all the years we've done it was another church down at the street fair with a booth where we talk to people, we have books and Bibles, and we've had some amazing conversations there. That last shift is a little sketchy at the midnight sun from about 10 to midnight. And this year they put our booth, I thought of the old Arctic Man days, we were right in front of the Mecca Bar right downtown. So it was Journey Christian Church, Mecca Bar. That's where we were. And that last shift from, I think, 10 to midnight, you know, I took that shift along with Ian, who plays on the worship team here. And, you know, I was very strategic about that because he's in the Army. He wants to be a Ranger. And so I was like, hey, this will be safe because we've had fights break out near our booth at the Midnight Sun Festival. And I have a potential Ranger, and I'm not afraid to use him. So I was ready for whatever happened. But we try to connect with our community, try to go to the places where our community gathers, try to be there in some way. I spent a lot of time, and other volunteers graciously spent a lot of time at a midsummer carnival, 10 days there. We were the only church there, and handed out Bibles, gave Christian materials, prayed for people, and those are powerful opportunities. In women's ministry, we've seen large numbers of our ladies go to the women's tea that they do once a year. We're making sure that there's a ladies' group. Every time, we always offer lots of small groups. That's another one of our ministries. The ladies a lot of them just went, I think it was like 25, just went to the Beth Moore simulcast and over at Friends Church, I believe. And so a big group went to that. And so trying to build those relationships. As far as our building project here in the last year, the concrete, I mean, it was almost a year ago, but the concrete out in front of under the canopy, that was put in, and then we just had the concrete put the sidewalk, and Mark Chapman was real key to that. Ronnie Brunt, he was out there, and a whole lot of other guys. Dave Goff always has his hand in those things. And so just very grateful for all that have done that. A project you wouldn't notice, but we had to put the glycol in the tubes with the water that heats this building. And so that was a big project that took days, and our guy named Rick Bienvenu, who was one of our paid people for a time, came back as a volunteer, and he's been doing that. Dave Goff and others have helped him with that. Deli has worked hard at getting the kind of the decorations and the signage, and I just want to pause here and just say, I'm listed as pastor, but I will tell you, my wife co-founded this church. She really did, and put in a lot of effort. And so I appreciate her, and I want you to understand how much she does invest in this place. And Fairbanks, Alaska would not have been on my list at all if I had not married Deli. So, and she prepared me for Fairbanks, so that's a good thing. And I love it. Don't ever see myself leaving this place in this ministry. The food pantry ministry is in its third year. That was something we couldn't do when we were in the movie theater for those 12 years, and it's gone really well. A typical week, they're feeding about or at least 100 people. It was down a little bit this week because it was dividend time, but that takes like 10, 15 volunteers. I thank you. Many of you work hard at that. It takes a lot of effort to get the food over here. You have to go several times during the week and to make all that happen. And that's a powerful thing. It's something that we're known for in this community. It's been a real blessing to this community. I have shared this before, but I'm chaplain of the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm a volunteer over there, and I get to hear all these presentations about our community. And I had no idea. I was shocked when the superintendent of schools shared that about 40% of our kids in this community are on the free lunch program. 40%. I had no idea that food was that big of an issue in this community, but it is. And so that ministry steps into that and makes a real difference about it. And our youth ministry, there's a lot going on there. That's been powerful. Marcy runs with that. And just pray it's over those kids. Evan Roberts has now taken on the senior high. Harmony and Rich with the junior high in the morning. But we have amazing kids here. I read about the kids and future generations, and a lot of that stuff is negative. But if you know the young people here, whether it's the millennials, whether it's the teenagers, whether it's the children, we have remarkable people here, and you parents are doing a great job in sowing into the next generation. And so it's a great youth ministry. They really, Marcy has really had them own it, and they really run with it. And the adults are just kind of there to keep them from going off the rails. And they really own it. And I will tell you, I've spent a lot of time. I started this new group. It's a service project group once a month called Love Fairbanks. And we just try to go serve in our community. And last month, we went to the food bank, and they had 18 pallets of potatoes that were like, up to your chest. And so we kind of swarmed through those and had to dig through a lot of rotten potatoes to find the good potatoes. And I will tell you, it was a nasty job, okay? And your teenagers, which were the bulk of the group, now there were some adults as well, but your teenagers stepped up and did that, and I didn't hear whining, I didn't hear complaining. They did it, and they did it quickly, and it was awesome. And the food bank really appreciated it, and we were able to save some. Not a lot, but we were able to save some potatoes, and those were given to people to help them. Children's ministry, lots of cool things happening there. We did a summer lock-in. The kids' club on Thursday night, lots of kids. If you ever come on Thursdays, you can see that in action. We did a boys to men camp out, and that was at least, 35 of us, and teaching these young boys very intentionally, what does it mean to be a godly man? What does it mean to be a godly husband and to lead a family? How does that work? What does that look like? And so that was a powerful thing that Chris spent a lot of time on, and I worked with him on that, and he did a great job. The young adult group helped me tremendously, and others, and we put on our very first kind of Halloween alternative. It was called a harvest party. We're going to do it again this year, and we had about 200 people file through this place throughout the course of that evening. And it was pretty fun. It was a good connection with our community. When I think about missions, we regularly give to missions. One of the things we brought in that I appreciated was the wall of unreached people groups. If you were here that Sunday, you got to see how much is left to be done, how you should be praying for your kids and grandkids and even yourself. Am I called to go to a community? Because Fairbanks, I mean, I was called to come here, but there are churches here. There is a visible, powerful Christian witness here. There are people groups around the world that there is no visible church. And maybe you're called. Maybe your kids are called. Maybe your grandkids are called. And that was and we had this place lined up with the literally thousands of people groups. And the job is not remotely done. It's worth sacrificing for. It's worth giving for. We've had people go. We had a couple of people of our young adults go to Belize on a mission trip. A couple of them went to Kenya. And I love stories like that where God shows up. And so I just want you to understand that God is doing things here. It's not just all in the book of Acts. He's doing things among us. He's doing things in your lives. One other story, and then we're going to open it up for a few testimonies. This is a picture. You may have seen it upstairs. And it's, you know, it's not, as far as artistic quality, the most amazing picture, but it's a picture of a tree. And this was done by a woman named Carolyn. And Carolyn, her story spans more than the last year, but it wrapped up in the last year. Carolyn came to our recovery ministry. And when I heard her story, I'm like, wait a minute, I know this story. And her story was about losing her little daughter, Lexi. She was in a homeless camp. She was an addict. And her baby, Lexi, was taken from her. And she decided that because her child was taken from her, and then that child ended up dying in a freak accident where snow came off the roof of a house, and a metal roof, and it just slid down and buried her. And she was buried for 8 minutes. And so she died. And little Lexi died. And so I'm listening to this story, and I'm going, I know this story. I know who this is. Well, Lexi, we were foster parents, and we had Lexi for a very short period of time. We were, when she was taken from the homeless camp, she was put in our home. And so here's this person, out of all the churches in Fairbanks, when she decided to change her life, went to the rescue mission, caught a ride, our van was going over there at the time, and caught a ride to our recovery service and our recovery ministry in a group. And she tells her story, and then the pastor, I share, well, you know, we're the foster parents, and we were able to give her pictures from that little stage in her daughter's life. And she took that as, this is God working with me. God still cares about me. And she walked out of her addiction, not perfectly. There were struggles, there were relapses, but she walked out of that addiction and got the most clean time she had ever had in decades in her life. And it happened because this church was here, because you all gave, because you prayed, because you served, because you invested in what's eternal and what matters. Now, she had heart issues because, you know, doing drugs for years, living a homeless lifestyle is hard on your body. And so she passed away in the past year. And so now, because of you, because of your investment, she is in heaven with her daughter. And we got to her just in time. So I want to open it up. I have one of our ladies is going to run around with a microphone. If you want to share a quick little testimony about what God's been doing in your life, do that. My guidance is it needs to be brief. My other guidance is I would prefer recent, not, you know, I was saved 20 years ago, you know. Something, an answer to prayer, or something that God has been doing. You know, we as a church, we fasted and prayed for 30 days. Is there anything that you would like to share? When I open up, just raise your hand and she'll come to you.
My name is Marcy. Really quick, my answer to prayer every week is that Santa does the youth group with me. She's amazing, and I just wouldn't want to walk through this without her. The other thing is that I just got back from Haiti with Kent and a group with Ford Edge, and I'm not going to go into all of that. We'll share in a couple of weeks. But we had a day that was really a lot of terrifying, a lot of God answering big, big prayers. And we get to the compound where we're safe for the evening and the night. And our interpreter had a really bad infection in his finger, and he gave up going to the nurse to get it, the bandages changed and everything, to get us to safety. And so when we got there, I was praying with him, and I'm like, God, we need medical stuff on this property now. It wasn't safe to leave the compound. Our driver had already left with the van so he could get to a safe place. And I'm like, he can't go walking around the streets trying to find this stuff, and we didn't have it with us. And just crying out to the Lord, we need this now on this property. And so we finished praying, and he says, okay, let me just go ask these people what they have here. He came back 30 minutes later, and you know how big God is? He didn't find bandages and salve. There was a clinic and a nurse in that compound. And it was just overwhelming to me. I literally went in the room and I hit my knees and cried, because like that day I had been filled up with all these answers to prayer, and God just dumped even more on me. And it was astounding.
Just raise your hand if you want to share a quick testimony.
My name is Dave. My wife Heather and I have been coming here for about 14 years. So I've got, I'm going to break Derek's rule a little bit and go back in time just really quickly. So in that 14 years, I've come through a really serious period of doubting my faith, agnosticism. And Heather and I were separated for about a year during that time. And then the third thing, just on the positive side, is how we came to have our first daughter. And so to receive God's grace through the faithfulness of this church in those three ways has been truly profound for me. And in those 14 years, we've seen that this consistently is a place of credible leadership, credible teaching, and people who are willing to be the body of Christ and to kind of help you come back, to show grace to you. So to have my faith restored through the biblical teaching of this church, of course, is something that has eternal consequences for me. To have my marriage restored in part through the help that we received from people at this church, like Deli. And then also to have our first daughter come to us, who was at first foster daughter with Derek and Deli, has just also been the gift that keeps on giving. So I encourage you to engage with the church here, with the body, and I don't think you'd regret it.
I'm a nurse, and I take care of total care and dying patients and residents. And I had this staff member, she worked for me the first part of 2000, to 2012, 13, somewhere in that, and then she took, she was gone from the facility working for about 4 years, and I brought her back a year ago last June, and Donna was the only one that would pray with the Bible to our sick and dying people, and because she watched me. Being licensed by the state, you have to keep religion and government separate, and we can't openly just display and always talk and that. I can invite people to come in, and if people choose to hear it or things like that, it's acceptable with the state. However, I've always had Bibles there, and if they pick them up, they pick them up. But when they're dying, these people are generally in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. They come in without any Christian Bible or little crosses or anything. There's nothing. And the family says, oh, we don't believe in that. Because I always ask, is there a church there you're affiliated with? And they said, no, we don't believe in that. And they, for the most part, dump them off. And so they don't have to take care of them. Going to pass. They're comforted because I do pray. I do read from the Bible to them. wherever I get a chance, whatever time of the day or night, and they want to pray. For the most part, they always want to pray. I think maybe just a few times in the 20 years that I've had this facility that they didn't want to, or that they were nasty enough to say, no, just go away, leave me alone. But for the most part, yes. And when I pray over them or when I read the Bible, Donna would do that too when she was working her shift. But Donna got sick in January, and she always would ask me on Sunday, are you just getting back from church or are you going to church? Oh, I'm going to church. Oh, she'd say, pray for me. She had a really, really tough life. But a turn of events for her helping me with these people, and she was the only one other than Laverne that you've seen here with me this spring, and she is a Christian woman that would pray and say, well, God bless you, or you're in God's hands and Jesus is coming, or that Donna, I had the privilege and the blessing of taking care of her before she passed in February. And I had her in my facility, so she was safe. And she thanked me for showing her that there was peace and comfort, and that it was in Jesus. And that was a blessing.
I work out at Camp Liwa in the summer as a volunteer cutting trees, which is a job nobody really wants to do. And this summer, the youth group came out for 3 days during the 4th of July week. And I know when I was a junior high or high school kid, I would have never volunteered for something like that. So I really appreciate the kids of this church. And also, there was, like Tony was a counselor out there. I think Jaden was one of the salts. So the kids from Journey Church are serving the Lord, and I really appreciate that.
Feel like an auction. Don't move. All right, well, okay. Let me just share two very quickly. One, the last 30 days, one of the things we prayed about was that we would see Christian men or women elected to public office in here locally, and we saw that happen. We really did. God was very gracious, and so that was a pretty amazing thing. And then I had one. My dad, a little less than a year ago, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's 85. And one of the things I've been praying about a lot has been just that he would have clarity of mind. And so I was told just a few days ago by my mother that the doctor has now said that my dad does not have Alzheimer's. So either they got it wrong, or what I think is that God healed him. So we'll take it either way. But that was a cool thing. So let me just read our mission, and it's going to pop up on the stage or on the wall behind me. I'd like you to read this with me. So our mission, read it with me, to connect people to Jesus Christ and to each other. And if Christ tarries, I hope we get another many, many decades together to do his work. Let me pray, and I'll turn it over to Dave for announcements and offering. Dear God, I thank you for each person here, each part of the body. I thank you for those who give, those who pray, those who serve. Lord, we just so appreciate all that is done for you. Lord, I do thank you for my wife and her partnership in making this happen and coming alongside over many years and many challenges in order to see this congregation in this community begin and thrive. Lord, I thank you for raising up people to work with kids, with teenagers, to go to North Star Halfway House and reach out to those that many have given up on. Lord, I thank you for those who come alongside those who are mired in addiction and patiently stay when so many others leave. Lord, we just thank you for the work of this church. We thank you for the food that's distributed both physically and spiritually. And we pray you'll continue to lead us and provide for us in a powerful way. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.